Chris? There we go. Okay. Good morning and welcome to the Ventura Church of Christ. For those of you that are visiting today, very, very glad to have you. This is your opportunity to leave because I'm going to preach. Jim taught a class this morning, and part of what he was talking about was how we need to take care of those things that are spiritual, and do we get involved in things that are more to-dos rather than the spiritual part. But in some ways, I think they kind of go hand in hand, and you'll understand more as I go on. I was at the Christmas potluck last week, and I realized today that we were singing some Christmas songs. That was nice to have. So I thought, since I had this napkin in my pocket from the potluck, I could pull it up here and just be a little more Christmassy today. Does that work? Can you see that, Gary? Okay, good. I also want to make sure that you guys notice Lois Titus came in. And Lois, I want you to be clear, I am not trying out for the preacher position. Okay. So the lyrics written by one of my favorite country song artists is Kix Brooks. And the lyrics go like this. It's from a song called Believe. Old man Wrigley lived in a white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things. We struck a friendship up. I spent a few long summers out on his old porch swing. Said he was in the war when he was in the Navy, lost his wife, lost his baby. I broke down once and asked him one time, how did you keep from going crazy? He said, I'll see my wife and son in just a little while. I asked him what he meant. He looked at me and smiled. And he said, and this would be the chorus, I raise my hands, I bow my head. I'm finding more and more truth in the words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. I believe. This younger man was struck by the example of his senior and lived on to be a believer. Last Thursday night, we interviewed a preacher candidate. The elders were here, and they were asking him questions. And they asked one question about what scripture speaks to him most? And he, without hesitation, went to Matthew 25. I turned to Danette and said, he's going to preach my sermon. Later, as I prepared the lesson, I realized that obviously this is not my lesson. This is the Lord's words. And if you'll join me now as we turn to Matthew 25, and we'll read the words written in red from our Lord in verses 31 through 47. This will be a long reading. When I come with my glory and all my angels, then I will sit on my glorious throne. All of the people will be gathered in front of me. I will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side and the goats on his left side. Then I will say to the people on the right side, you are blessed by my Father. Come, take what belongs to you, the kingdom which was prepared for you since the beginning of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me into your home. I had no clothes, you gave me some clothes. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in jail, and you came to visit. Then the good people will answer me, Lord, when did you see us? When did we feed you when you were hungry? When did we give you something to drink when you were thirsty? When did we see you as a stranger and take you into our homes? When did you need clothes and we gave some to you? When did we see you when you were sick or in jail? When did we come to you? And I will answer. I am telling you the truth. Since you treat some of my so-called unimportant brothers this way, you did this to me. Then I will say to the people on the left side, go away from me into eternal fire. You are condemned. The fire has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me into your homes. I had no clothes, and you didn't give me any. I was sick, I was in jail, but you didn't take care of me. Then they will say, Lord, when did we see you? When were you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, without clothes, sick, or in jail, and we didn't help you? Then I will answer them, I am telling you the truth. Since you didn't treat one of these so-called unimportant people with kindness, you didn't do it to me either. Then these people will go off into eternal punishment, but the good people will go into eternal life. In Revelations, in the discussion of the seven churches, we too are encouraged as a church to do his will. We are a small but mighty band of members who have seen and addressed many of the needs within our walls. There are countless acts of kindness, goodness, brotherhood, sisterhood, taking place in our membership that are not touted or awarded, that many of you don't even know about. This is the way our Lord would have us to do it. His will is that we place ourselves to do his work in secret. In Matthew 6, 1 through 4, we read, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets and hypocrites, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. When your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. We also read in the second half of Luke 12:48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Selfishness is not the theme of this body of believers. My question to myself, though, is there more that I can do? Are there more people that I can serve and attract to his teachings? Am I the servant leader that he asks me to be? And what is much more, much, much more, that'll be asked? For years, I heard Dave talk about bringing people to the church, to finding ways to bring souls in, to discuss, to get them to be evangelized, to get them to be part of our membership, and so on. And he would say that many times in the future, these people will not look like us, will not talk like us, will not dress like us, and will not smell like us. That was Dave's words. The question I had for Dave that I never asked him is, what is us? So I called him. After catching up on the ins and outs of Schultzisms, 3.5 hours later, Dave told me, we need to look at our this is Dave, right? I'm gonna quote this. We need to look at our socioeconomic environment, history, spirituality, diversity, ethnic makeup, commonalities, differences, and backgrounds. Does that sound like Dave? Okay. He went on to say, prior to becoming our minister, other preachers and elders, we're talking 29 years ago, had told him that the Ventura Church was a very conservative church. But when he arrived, he was pleased to see that wasn't actually the case. He said, and many times over the years, he's realized that conservatism and traditionalism have been confused with each other. Moreover, but sometimes unfortunately, traditions can become confused for scripture that does not exist. Early on, I personally remember Dave strove to get this church to get more comfortable with working outside our walls and in our community. Tradition had limited his ability and our outreach as well. Vacation Bible School seemed to be the only outreach that did not solely reach church members, but extended to children from any other group. We soon began to provide food and clothing and by supporting Project Understanding, and some questioned why we would work with interfaith groups in doing the Lord's will. I have been unable to find a criteria for who we should not help according to Matthew 25. I find it interesting that Jesus referred to the disenfranchised people as these so-called unimportant people. His tongue-in-cheek was humor for me because of the way he phrased it. These so-called unimportant people. Because to Jesus, who was unimportant? Everyone's important. I say all of this to lay groundwork to introduce you to a wonderful and exciting opportunity that we have for outreach in our church. As some of you know, George McGonagall and I were asked to build and are leasing equipment to Ventura County Healthcare Agency in a new project to curb homelessness. We work for the healthcare agency under a whole person care. We build shower units that also have treatment units, and they're converted shipping containers with a treatment room and four shower stalls. Whole Person Care has made this pilot program very successful for both the homeless and a savings to the taxpayers of over $13 million a year in Ventura County. They're doing this by providing services in the field, Medicare, Medi-Cal, behavioral services, veteran services. And in the last 6 months, there have been 415 less ER visits and 57% reduction in hospital stays by people who got action early and were taken care of. Most important, 8 homeless veterans who did not know they had a way out are housed. It's great. I only tell you this because George and I, with some of you, were trying to find a way that we could provide a shower unit to help here on our grounds for moms and children living in cars that qualify for the city center intermittent housing, which is downtown in Ventura. And these people cannot get placed due to lack of vacancies. There are no vacancies. It is currently full at 74. And to make matters worse, or at least to understand, there's 48 of them are children. My daughter could tell you that children who don't get showers and go to school go to a lower level of sociable behavior within the class. And to get a shower, to be clean, to have clothes, makes a significant difference in the way they act, the way they learn, the way they are taught, and the way they are able to socialize with other children. So George and I looked into construction of a unit. However, the ones we build for the county cost, just the cost alone, $35,000. And we chose to pray about this because we knew that was way too much. We felt that maybe we could put something together for about $10,000, but that's still a lot of money to ask for and to be donated to us. Okay, last month there was an answer to our collective prayers. A person who knew nothing about what we were trying to do called me out of the blue. He knows I have support equipment, etc., for different things. And he said that he had a shower trailer that didn't need anymore and asked if we wanted it. After picking myself up, or at least my jaw, off the ground, I said, yes, how much? My jaw dropped again. It's a God thing. He said, just come get it. Praise God for our prayers. God's good. So how exciting that as the Lord's servants in our community, we are now have the ability to give to these so-called unimportant people. With the approval and direction of our elders and leadership, this congregation will be launching a new vision program in January. We are currently adding 2 more shower stalls in the trailer and splitting it to accommodate genders, the traditional godly ones. Just want to make that clear. Okay. Joni Markham was the first member to volunteer to help. She asked what she could do. We said, Joni, can you sit there? Can you talk to people? Can you hand out soap? She said, yes. Perfect. Thank you, Joni, for your heart. Living Waters and Hope will be the name of this shower unit, and it will sit here on the grounds and will be plumbed in to accommodate the needs as they come across. You may ask, why should we do this? In our excitement, we began to talk about this gifted trailer with our friends and neighbors outside the church family. We told them this was a God thing. That we'd asked for it, and he delivered. These good people immediately opened their hearts and gave us an unsolicited $600 collectively for the efforts because they wanted to help those that we will serve. To answer the question why we do this outreach, I want to suggest that there are 5 visions in the program. These will work in conjunction with Matthew 25, and I'll go through them, first 1 through 5, and then just explain what they are. They are perception in the community, which I just demonstrated. We're not about ourselves. missional outlook in the church, evangelism and leadership training, missions for those who cannot travel, and the unity of other community church volunteers with a heart for Christ. Perception in the community among those who do not need this ministry is we are not all about ourselves. We would be something other than all about ourselves, taking care of just our own. We can plant a seed that we are a loving people, and hopefully that will help support that we are more open to having more people come in. It creates a positive perception through that we are a small conservative church, but we are interested in others than just ourselves. We've got it made. We're here, we're baptized, we're believers. There's so many souls that aren't. This state is a mission field. The missional outlook in your church is one that our church members serve the homeless, and they will begin to experience and understand that they are making disciples in the context in which God has placed them now in this process. We have discussed short-term missions and long-term missions in countries, but we're trying to get out of our comfort zone. To do what we're asking or we're planning to do now, we will be getting out of our comfort zone. The local ministry to the needy helps the church members do all of this right here and on a regular basis for those who are in the most need. Being in a real relationship with intentional friends and members of our own community and changing the lives and the understanding of those people who we need to serve under the Great Commission. Our members will also rejoice in knowing the names and stories of people they have participated with in helping, not unlike FriendSpeak, not unlike Vacation Bible School, not unlike Trunk or Treat. All of those things contribute to giving us the ability to get to know people better for His service. This one act can create the ability to think missionally all the time. This is a mission field that we can start right here. Evangelism and leadership training. To sit and converse with our guests is one of the best ways that we get to know people and they get to know us. We get to build relationships and we can pray with our guests as they request. We have the opportunity to share the gospel and what it's meant to us. The training model with those who have rarely evangelized is that they are able to watch and learn from other believers that are here who are more comfortable and accustomed to doing this and share more the gospel with our guests. Missions for those who cannot travel. As Joni said, she wants to do a mission. It's right here. This is easy. Anybody can do it. And she's my gold standard for somebody that can do it. Financial constraints, scheduling conflicts, problems with their own health, or someone for whom they are responsible for can create barriers for those who desire to participate in mission trips, but our community is a mission field. This will offer an organized, multi-generational opportunity for answering the call of the Great Commission. And finally, we have a group of other Christian-oriented churches that will come to our site and also help in volunteering. We will get to know some of our other brothers and sisters. They will get to know us, but in reality, Christ is being served. We're doing what we're all supposed to do, which is a good thing. In order to get someone to hear you, sometimes you have to feed them. In order to get someone to their job, who doesn't need a shower? Anybody here doesn't need a shower? That's what I thought. Okay. The other part is when you think about the homeless, when you think about at night when you're trying to sleep and you're trying to get that pillow just right, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, man, I just can't seem to. Think about those people who are sleeping in cars with their children. It's the pillow's not the big deal. It's like, how do I stay warm? These are things we can do on a very simple level and be extremely effective. We understand that there are concerns for many of our neighbors regarding a homeless ministry, but we'll be serving a selected group of homeless that have been pre-screened by Jim Duran and the City Center through the River Church. This program is not the cross-section of the public. We will not be dealing with that population that probably needs to be in mental health facilities. So it's not a scary thing. This is an invitation-only service to reach these families. Women and men and children concerned have already been vetted. They've already been talked to. They are just waiting to get in the city center because that is a place where you go, you have an interim short period of time, you already have a job, you're working, you bank your money, you're there for 2 years. It's a hand up, not a handout. We're going to offer a service to those people who want a hand up, not a handout. This is one of the visions, areas that God's people can do effectively here. There is a harvest. Our first mission is right here at home. There are souls to be assisted and saved. We're currently in an exhaustive preacher search. The committee is working diligently to accomplish this work. However, a preacher will not solve our needs. There is no scripture that supports that he has that responsibility. The true responsibility is with each of us in this church. As a church of the Revelations, the responsibility relies solely with us. The preacher will be a leader that will help us as we go through this journey. What we're asking people to do, and I put a line here, as for me and mine, we want to be counted on the right side as sheep. Anybody here want to be goats? We can do a good and godly work, all and any of us can do, no matter what our physical ability. But this is a choice. Each of you can make a decision to serve in another capacity. It doesn't have to be this one. As long as you're serving, Christ is taught. But not attending to these so-called unimportant people has a clear consequence, as related in Matthew. We are a small but mighty band of members. We have seen and addressed many needs within these walls. Vacation Bible School, Friends Speak, Project Understanding, Trunk and Treat have opened us up to our community. God has provided us a new opportunity to reach souls. He has provided us an attainable vision. So, let's soldier up. Galatians tells us, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And nobody here is someone who gives up. I know you too well. This lesson and this program is yours. If there's anyone who needs services of our elders or leaders here, please come forward this morning as we stand and sing. Thank you.